Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY20 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Welcome to Glenmark's Q4 earnings call. Before I start the call, I would like to introduce the members at Glenmark. We have Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and CFO, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals, and Robert Matzik, President, North America. First, the review of operations for the quarter ended March 31st, 2020. For the fourth quarter, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at $27,674 million, recording an increase of $796 million. For the year ended, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was $106,406.69 million, recording an increase of 7.86%. Business update on account of the COVID situation. The COVID-19 pandemic and the subsequent lockdown across India affected Glenmark's production facilities in the month of March and April. However, by the end of April, Glenmark's manufacturing units managed to stabilize production, and logistics were also in place in order to ensure uninterrupted supplies to all our markets. As of now, all of Glenmark's manufacturing facilities are operational, and the supply of raw material has also improved significantly. Further, internal logistics within India were stabilized by end April, and exports to all markets resumed to a significant extent by the first week of May. Since the start of the outbreak, Glenmark's employees across operations around the world have worked around the clock to formulate and adopt best practices that adhere to the highest standards of safety. Glenmark employees have also facilitated the uninterrupted supply of medicines to every market it services. The company has made significant efforts to reduce the burden on the community on account of COVID-19 across its operational countries and manufacturing location. The details are available on the company's website. In a landmark development for COVID-19 patients in India, Glenmark announced the launch of antiviral drug favipiravir, brand name Faviflu, for the treatment of mild to moderate COVID-19 patients. Glenmark received manufacturing and marketing approval from India's regulator as part of the accelerated approval process, considering the emergency situation of the COVID-19 outbreak in India. The approval's restricted use entails responsible medication use, where every patient must have signed an informed consent before treatment indication. Glenmark's approvals from India's regulators make Faviflu the first oral favipiravir-approved medication in India for the treatment of COVID-19. Glenmark would be conducting a post-marketing study as recommended by the Indian regulator on favipiravir on 1,000 patients of mild to moderate COVID-19 for further evaluation of safety and efficacy. Further, Glenmark also recently announced a new randomized open-label study to test the combined efficacy of two antiviral drugs, favipiravir and umefanovir, as a potential COVID-19 treatment strategy. The two antiviral drugs have a different mechanism of action, and their combination may demonstrate improved treatment efficacy by effectively tackling high viral loads in patients during early stage of the disease. Early administration of a combination of antiviral medications acted by different mechanism is desirable for the treatment of COVID-19, since the viral load of SARS-CoV-2 peaks around the time of symptom onset. The new combination trial will be called FAITH. 158 hospitalized patients of moderate COVID-19 infections will be enrolled in the combination study and randomized in two groups. One group receiving favipiravir and umefanovir with standard supportive care, and one group receiving favipiravir along with standard supportive care. The business. First, the India business. Sales for the formulation business in India for the fourth quarter was $7,647.53 million, recording a growth of 14.52%. The India business continued to outperform the industry growth as per IQVIA. Glenmark's India business recorded growth of 15.90% as compared to IPM growth of 9.68%. As per IQVIA MAT, March 20, Glenmark's India business recorded growth of 14.22% as compared to IPM growth of 10.55%. In terms of market shares, Glenmark's India business further strengthened in its core therapy areas such as cardiac, diabetes, and respiratory. In April 2019, Glenmark announced the launch of its novel patent-protected, globally researched SGLT2 inhibitor, remoglufosine itaconate, in India. Glenmark is the first company in the world to launch remogliflozin, and the response from KOLs has been extremely positive. As per IQVIA March 20 data, the sales for the remogliflozin franchise is tracking at rupees 53 million per month. Glenmark has attained 7.34% market share in March 20 in terms of value in the overall SGLT2 market in India. Glenmark has also launched the combination of remogliflozin itraconate and metformin hydrochloride for adults with type 2 diabetes. The combination of the product has also received a good response from the market, with sales crossing rupees 10 million in the month of March 20 itself. During the fourth quarter, Glenmark announced the partnership of its gynecology division with Integrase Limited, a True North company. Thus, under this arrangement, the gynecological business of India and Nepal was transferred to Integrase along with the employees of that division. The gynecology division revenue is insignificant to the overall India business and is part of Glenmark's non-core business. The transaction was signed and closed in the fourth quarter of the financial year. Glenmark's consumer care business in India continued to maintain a strong growth momentum of 31% in the fourth quarter, setting a new milestone of sales of rupees 2038 million, 203 crores in this financial year. The strong growth in the fourth quarter was led by Candid Dusting Powder, with the highest ever growth of 38%. Modern trade channel led to the growth agenda for consumer care portfolio with 34% growth during the year. During the quarter, the company announced that it entered into an agreement with Hindustan Unilever Limited for the divestment of its V-Wash brand and other extension. Under this agreement, the brand and other trademark copyrights know-how associated with Glenmark's V-Wash business will be transferred to HUL. Glenmark will receive an upfront payment and a certain percentage of sales for 3 years. No employees will be transferred as part of this agreement. The transaction was completed on June 25, 2020. USA, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals recorded revenue from finished dosage of $7,619 million, $105.11 USD million, recording degrowth of -1%. In the fiscal year 1920, Glenmark was given 14 ANDAs, comprising of 12 final and 2 tentative approvals. Additionally, Glenmark was also granted approvals on a pass to make an over-the-counter version of Adapalene gel 0.1% available. Notable approvals during the year include Fulvestrant injection, Pimoclomos cream, Defarisrox tablets for oral suspension. The company filed a total of 8 ANDA applications with the US FDA throughout the fiscal year. The generic industry continues to be subdued, with the overall generic topical dermatology market continuing to witness price erosion on a Q-on-Q basis. On a YTD basis, the overall generic topical dermatology market is estimated to have witnessed price erosion of around 20% for the entire financial year. During the financial year, the U.S. business was significantly impacted in terms of accounts of 3 products, Mupirocin cream, Atomoxetine, and Calciproteon cream. Further, the sales was also impacted in the year due to Ranitidine. Glenmark completed the successful launch of 16 products during the financial year. Africa, Asia, and CIS region. For the fourth quarter, the revenue from this region was $3,365 million, recording degrowth of 12.65%. In the fourth quarter of the financial year, secondary sales, the Russian subsidiary showed 3.8% growth in value. The Russia business continued to be subdued in the fourth quarter, and currency devaluation further impacted the business. The Asia region's performance in the fourth quarter was average, and secondary sales of only 1% reported for the region. Sales continue to remain subdued across all major Asian markets for Glenmark. The African region recorded secondary sales growth in the fourth quarter. The secondary sales growth was on account of the performance of the Kenya subsidiary. Glenmark's Europe operations revenue was for the fourth quarter was $4,115 million, recording growth of 29.26%. Glenmark's Europe operations performed well in the fourth quarter, recording growth in excess of 20% in constant currency. The Western European business recorded growth of 23% in the quarter on account of good growth recorded by the German subsidiary. The Central Eastern European business grew well in the fourth quarter. During the quarter, Glenmark Poland announced the partnership of its CNS portfolio to Nurax Pharma, a leading European pharma company. Following the transaction, the Glenmark CNS commercial team in Poland will join Nurax Pharma's Polska existing sales and marketing organization to create a strong player in the Polish CNS market with excellent access to psychiatrists, neurologists, and pharmacies. Latin America, Glenmark's revenue from its Latin American and Caribbean operations was at $1,768 million, recording an increase of 46.9%. The strong growth recorded by the subsidiary was on account of the Brazil subsidiary, which continues to benefit from the launch of 3 respiratory products licensed from Novartis. During the quarter, the Brazilian subsidiary announced the partnership of a set of dermatology brands with a leading Brazilian pharmaceutical company, Hypera. The transaction was signed in the fourth quarter of the financial year. GPL Speciality and Innovative Pipeline, Ryaltris nasal spray is the company's respiratory pipeline and is currently under review with the US FDA as a treatment of seasonal allergic rhinitis in the USA. During the fourth quarter, Glenmark and Hikma entered into an exclusive licensing arrangement for the commercialization of Ryaltris seasonal allergic rhinitis nasal spray in the US. Under the terms of the agreement, Glenmark will be responsible for the continued development and regulatory approval of Ryaltris by the US FDA, while Hikma will be responsible for the commercialization of Ryaltris in the US. Glenmark will receive an upfront payment and on regulatory approval also. Glenmark will also receive commercial milestone payments as well as royalties from Hikma for Ryaltris. Besides the US deal, Glenmark has also already signed licensing deals for commercializing Ryaltris in China, Australia, New Zealand and Korea. Glenmark is working to close a partnership for Ryaltris in various other markets, including the EU. The company has already filed an application for Ryaltris approval in the European Union. During the first quarter FY19-20, the US FDA had issued a CRL pertaining to the new drug application for Ryaltris. We continue to work with the agency to resolve the issue raised in the CRL. The CRL's response is currently on track for submission shortly. We are in communication with the FDA and all deficiencies except facility clearances are minor in nature and have already been addressed. During the third quarter of the financial year, Glenmark announced that its partner, Seqirus Australia, has received marketing approval for Ryaltris from TGA Australia. We have already dispatched launch quantity to Seqirus in this month and they are planning for the launch of Ryaltris in Australia in Q2 FY21. Recently, the company's approval company's partner in South Korea, Yuhan Corporation, also received regulatory approval, which paves the way for the launch of Ryaltris in South Korea. Further, in the last few months, Ryaltris has been approved in Cambodia, Uzbekistan, Namibia, and South Africa. Also, Ryaltris clinical trials in Russia have been completed, and the subsidiary will shortly seek regulatory approval from the regulator. GBR-310. During FY19, Glenmark announced Phase 1 results suggest similarity in pharmacokinetic, pharmacodynamic safety and immunogenicity profiles between GBR-310 and the reference product Omalizumab. The company is in discussions with potential partners and is targeting to conclude a deal before initiating Phase 3 studies. GRC-39815, this compound is currently in preclinical development and the company plans to initiate a Phase 1 study shortly. Glenmark Life Sciences. For the fourth quarter, external sales of Glenmark Life Sciences was at $2613 million as against $2487 million, recording growth of 5.07%. For the entire year, external sales of Glenmark Life Sciences recorded revenue of $10239 million as against $9493 million, recording growth of 7.86%. Ichnos Sciences. For the 9 months ended December 31, 2020, Glenmark invested $5943 million. 85.03 million and in the fourth quarter of the financial year the company invested approximately 2250 million. Thus, for the entire financial year, Glenmark invested 8193 million equivalent of USD 115.73 million in Ichnos Sciences. Ichnos Sciences initiated the process to raise capital in the US in the current month to fund the development of its pipeline and for future growth plans. For further updates on the pipeline and the organization, please log on to ichnossciences.com. The pipeline update for the fourth quarter is published. Update on the Chief Commercial Officer for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Glenmark recently announced the appointment of Mr. Robert Crockart as Chief Commercial Officer, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Mr. Crockart will be based at Glenmark's head office in Mumbai and will report directly to the Chairman and Managing Director. Mr. Crockart comes with 26 years of end-to-end experience across various industries, including pharmaceutical industries, consumer health, retail, pharmaceutical, wholesale, and outsourcing. He has successfully completed and transformed businesses for growth across multiple geographies in Europe, Asia, Latin America, Middle East, and Africa. Prior to Glenmark, Mr. Crockart was Divisional Vice President Asia Pacific for Abbott. He was instrumental in expanding the MEAP region for Abbott year on year for over 5 years as DVP. He also established the EPD sales and strategy globally across all emerging markets and contribute consistently to the overachievements of the business. All the business heads at Glenmark will report into Mr. Crockart. He will be responsible for the entire formulation business of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. Before we open the floor for question and answers, a few notes. The R&D expenditure for the quarter was 350 crores, which was around 12.6% of sales. R&D expenditure for the year was 1352 crores, which was 12.7% of sales. Innovation expenditure was at 819 crores, which constitutes 60% of the overall R&D expenditure. Generic R&D expenditure was 533 crores, which contributes around 40% of the total R&D expenditure. Forex gain in other income was 35 crores in Q4 and was 115 crores in the full year. This is recorded in other income. Inventory was 2136 crores at 73 days in FY20 as compared to 2252 crores at 83 days in FY19. Receivables was 2409 crores at 83 days in FY20 as compared to 2195 crores at 81 days in FY19. Payables was 2126 crores at 73 days in FY20 as compared to 2221 crores at 82 days in FY19. Net working capital was at 2419 crores at 83 days in FY20 as compared to 2226 crores at 82 days in FY19. Gross debt was 4868 crores as on March 31st, 2020. Net debt was at 3758 crores as on March 31st, 2020. Net debt as constant currency has come down by USD 14 million as compared to the quarter ended December 31, 2020, where it stood at 513 million as compared to presently where it is at 499 million. Impact on currency on gross debt was over 375 crores for the year. Total asset additions during the years was 931 crores, down from 1237 crores in FY19. With this, moderator, we would like to open the floor for question and answers. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the questions are assembled. A reminder to all participants connected to this conference, if you have a question, please press star then one. We take the first question from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thanks for the opportunity. Glenn, first question for you in terms of understanding, you know, the revenue that we have clocked in India and Europe. You know, are there any COVID-related one-offs stocking or, you know, how should we think about fiscal 21 across your major revenue items, US, India, Europe, etc.?
So Prakash, if I look at India, you know, in Q4 itself, right, because there was some patient stocking we saw, you know, we got some positive benefit, right, coming on account in particularly in the last 2-3 weeks of the quarter. As far as Europe goes, I think because of the Italian situation, one of our competitors was not able to supply. And we were able to get some good business out of that in the last month of the quarter. I mean, the run rate for both India and Europe, obviously, we cannot sustain this run rate in this current year given the COVID situation, right? And Q1 being a challenging quarter on account of COVID.
Any guidance you are giving on overall top line?
We're not giving any guidance this year, Prakash.
Okay. And any color on US, sir? I mean, in terms of, like you said, India and Europe. US, since we had a, you know, a softer base given the derma pressure, rising pressure, now how does it look fiscal 21 in terms of launches and in terms of growing on that base?
So the US continues to be a challenging environment. Right. But our view is, you know, we have some good launches coming up. So there could be some benefits we see out of the US.
Okay, thanks for that. And my second question on the cost front, so we have seen significant improvement on the cost side. So are we like 50% done on the cost side, or there is more to go in the fiscal 21?
Yeah, Prakash. So Mani here. So as it is on the cost front, on the other expenses, you can actually see that all the efforts we put over the last 1-2 years has really borne fruits. So going forward, we also look at reducing or keeping some of our costs under check, both on the manpower cost front as well as on the R&D front, okay? So both this will subsequently also tie in, you know, bring down the cost position here.
So there is more room, you are saying?
Yeah, definitely. There is some more room.
Perfect. And my last question on Favipiravir, so congrats on that. I'm just trying to understand how has been the initial pickup, since it's the only oral for, you know, mild to moderate. And what is the expectation in terms of, you know, patient penetration, and has the Health Ministry or ICMR approved the drug?
So, look, Favi, it's a good launch for the company. However, obviously, this is a drug which is approved under emergency authorization and, you know, has to be prescribed by the doctor. So there are quite a lot of restrictions in terms of usage of the drug. But it's a good launch. It'll help patients in these COVID times where there is hardly any therapy out there. We think it can really benefit patients, it'll help in the longer term as far as the company goes.
Understood. And last one, if I may squeeze in on the follow up on Favipiravir, the combination looks more promising, and what are the timelines to that?
So the combination, we have initiated the trials. I can't give a definitive timeline, but it'll take 2-3 months, I'm guessing.
For the launch or for you completing the trials?
Completing the trial.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll join back with you, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Glenn, a couple of things on the CAPEX at 900 crores, that still stays reasonably high versus most of our industry peers, who pretty much seem to be in a consolidating mode for the last 2-3 years now. I mean, for us now, how are we looking at this, you know, this whole CAPEX spend situation going forward?
So, Nitin, this is Mani here. So, I think it will come down even more, yeah. So, we expect it to be around 700 or a little higher than that. So, I mean, as we had guided even the last time, because we had some expenses in Monroe, et cetera, that is why it was a little bit higher. But going forward, we will see it lower, okay? So, on the, both on the regulatory, whatever we do, you know, the routine capex as well as any growth or all that, all put together, it should all be well below, I mean, much lower than 800.
So, Mani, on it's still where, so which, how would you split it roughly between tangibles and intangibles, you know, the 700 to 800 going forward, roughly?
It should be about, max about 200 for the in-licensing, whatever we do, and the rest will all be towards, actually, largely growth capex and routine capex. So, we will definitely drive to bring it down, yeah.
So this 500-600 on the tangible capex, you think that's going to stay at these levels? It's not going to come down below that?
It will come down a little below that as well, yeah. We'll see how much we can push it. We'll definitely try to bring it below that as well.
Okay. Secondly, again, on the Favi, I mean, how do you look at the export opportunity? How should one look at the export part opportunity for this product?
Well, Nitin, there are opportunities. You know, Favi is already approved for emergency authorization in a host of countries, right? Russia, China, Japan, Italy, Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh, so many countries. So there is an export opportunity going forward. But our first goal is to try and make it available to Indian patients, so Indian patients get the maximum benefit.
And in terms of our capacities, is there a constraint to capacity that we have for the product, assuming you know, there's a pickup of the drug as the trials and all go through?
No, we don't have any constraints. We have adequate capacities.
Okay. And lastly, on R&D, I mean, the breakup that you provided us, I mean, at 500 odd crores of generic spends, R&D spends are a little, are fairly muted versus, you know, versus the size of the business, right? Are we at the risk of underinvesting in certain businesses over the last couple of years, and it's probably reflecting in the way our US has grown? I mean, how should one look at that number in terms of how it's been in the recent past and how it is going to be going forward?
I think R&D as a percent to sales will come down substantially on account of just reducing overall R&D cost. Even Ichnos spend YOY is coming down this year compared to last year. Additionally, I think it's important to keep in mind that Ichnos will capital raise this year. So that will further take out that, you know, improve our cash flows there. So I think R&D, there is substantial scope for improvement overall as a percent to sales.
And what timeline should we work for the Ichnos fundraise?
So we've initiated the process. We'll see when it gets done.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivas from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. My first one is on the efficacy for favipiravir as a COVID-19 treatment. There's lots of literature around the world, including from Japan. So I just want to understand, you know, how effective is this drug, and have we completed our trials that we initiated, or we're just in the process of completing the trials just for favipiravir? I'm not talking about the combination. So that's my first question.
So I think, you know, favipiravir has several. Keep in mind that COVID is only a 4 to 6 month event. Okay, so all trials, I mean, there are tons and tons of trials going on globally on favipiravir, right? And, you know, over 5,000 patients have been treated with favipiravir. So there's a sufficient safety database there. As far as efficacy, there are several trials globally which have shown the drug is actually working, mainly in mild and moderate. I mean, there are studies coming out of multiple geographies. Because it's been so, you know, it's only been 4 to 6 months, right? Many of these trials are now beginning to report. As far as Glenmark goes, we have, you know, we've completed the randomization, and some of the patients are still completing the trial. So we are hoping that the trial should complete shortly, and then we will unlock the database and get the data. So that's kind of where we stand.
So Glenn, you will make the data public, right? Whatever the trial data at some point of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Got it. My second question is on Ryaltris. I think the MD&A talks about you know, the next steps, but I think critical in that is the plant resolution. So if you can update us on the plant resolution for Baddi.
So we are still working on that, right? On resolving the open items for Baddi.
Then any timelines? Because we've seen a host of Indian plants getting cleared. Is there something that does it require a re-inspection? Can it be done through a virtual audit? If you can help us just understand some timeline.
I can't comment on that. I can't give any more visibility other than to say that we're working on it and it should happen soon.
Got it. And so the last follow-up on that one is, so it will be contingent. I think the Ryaltris approval for the US will be contingent on that clearance, right?
We have an alternate site also under qualification, so hopefully that should further help.
Got it. Thank you. And my last question, team, is on the Latin American business. you know, you talked about Europe and India being not sustainable, but do you think the run rate that we have seen in the Latin American business, is that something, or does it also have some one-offs for the fourth quarter?
So Latin America, by and large, had no one-offs, okay, in the fourth quarter. But keep in mind, because of COVID, right, I think Q1 is going to be challenging for most geographies around the world, right, mm-hmm. Particularly countries in Latin America.
Got it. Got it. Okay, thank you and all the best.
Sure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Yon Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on the cost related to the Monroe site. How much has already come in? Can you quantify the number below, above EBITDA and also on the depreciation because of commissioning of the site?
So, San, in the this quarter, I mean, it just got commercialized only at the end of the quarter. So, obviously, there was not too much on that. On the depreciation also, it is not a very, very significant amount, okay? So I think you'll see the full impact of that in the next quarter.
Yeah, so can you quantify the numbers that you will see on, you know, expense and on depreciation?
It's not much as of now, but going forward, you will definitely see at least a 10 million add to the expenses, which should be absorbed by the products we manufacture there, yeah.
So this is annualized number you're saying?
Exactly. On the OSD side, yeah.
Okay. So basically, you know, it seems to be a mixed bag. So how do you read on commercial viability at this stage, given that, you know, the secondary endpoint was not met? And, you know, how do you think about the results and any comments there?
This question was on 8:30, right?
And just repeat your question.
Yeah, so I was, my question is, you know, on IBR 830, your comments on that, given the phase 2B results which came out, it seems to be a mixed bag with, you know, the higher benchmark secondary endpoint, you know, not being met, and you're looking for a higher dose there. So in this backdrop, how do you see this product and commercial viability and potential out-licensing deal there?
So I think from this study, right, we can just conclude that the drug worked, right, at the top dose. And we are waiting for the part two data, you know, and hopefully the part two, you know, we will meet primary and secondary endpoints, you know. So that should help the drug. But you're right, I mean, you know, it is what it is at this point.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Vishal Manchandana from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. On ISB 830, whether the secondary endpoints were not met even for the highest dose, or the secondary endpoint was not met for the composite effect of all the doses?
No, for the highest dose, the secondary endpoints, there was a numerical change in the secondary endpoints, even at the highest dose. However, it was not statistically significant.
Okay. Right. And next one, on your R&D spend in FY21, would there be an absolute reduction since there are no large phase 2 trials that are ongoing? So last year you had a couple of phase 2 trials.
Yeah, so on an absolute number it will be lower, yeah.
Okay. And some sense on how much lower, maybe like 5%, 10%? Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, I wouldn't like to throw a number, but definitely, I mean, current year also it is kind of lower than the last year. I mean, next year also it should be lower than the current year. Yeah.
Right. And just on the debt, what part of your long-term debt is falling due in FY21?
So we have around 400 odd crores that is falling due in the next year, and we have tied up all these, so there is no issues on those.
So would this be refinanced, is what you mean?
Yeah, I'm saying refinance, yeah. But some of those could also be repaid based on how the thing goes along. So we definitely see some reduction in the debt because of reduction in capex, reduction in expenses, reduction in R&D. All this should go down to reduce our debt.
Divestment.
And also some of the non-core assets that we have divested. So all this should go down to reduce it. Wouldn't like to give a number, but definitely it'll go down.
Okay. And with Q1 largely now over, could you give a sense on what kind of a decline should we anticipate over last year?
No, I wouldn't like to give a very, I would wait it out, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Vikas Sharad from NT Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Could you spell out the increase in the intangibles for the year? I mean, what are the key items there?
So basically, these are in-licensing, what we do across the geographies. It's about little in excess of 300 crores.
And so primarily in Europe, is it?
Europe and maybe a little bit in North America as well.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Beyond GBR 830, what are the key data readouts for the rest of FY21?
So we have a lot of data coming out on Ichnos, right? We have 1342, which is clearly the most exciting asset in the portfolio, right? For multiple myeloma, we have some of the, you know, 1302 also. I mean, there is a host of data readouts and inflection points in FY21. And I think from year on, you'll see every year multiple inflection points in terms of Ichnos and some of the data coming out.
Do you think 830 sets you back in terms of capital raising at Ichnos?
Not at all. Not at all. See, Ichnos is... main value proposition is its oncology franchise, bispecific, the technology. That's the main value proposition for Ichnos, right? And the focus for the company is more oncology than immunology going forward. And we have a number of assets in preclinical, which we believe is the next generation in oncology, in multiple myeloma and various other indications.
Okay, sir. And sir, can you split the capital work in progress? You know, what are the key elements? You've been running a very high CWIP for the last 2-3 years. What are the key points here we split it?
So as you would see, this year itself it has come down. So now it's about 1,000 crores. So of which most of it, a large portion of that is basically Monroe. Okay, see, right now we could only capitalize the OSD side. We still have the injectables and the nebulizers and a couple of other projects work in progress in India. So broadly, it's more of Monroe and a few small parts in India.
And this you see capitalizing over in FY21, all of it?
Not all of it. At least a good portion should, I mean, at least the injectables would get capitalized in. So you would see it corresponding like the current year, there will be a reduction again in the next year. It will come down.
Understood. And, you know, again, going back to an earlier question, CapEx, for your size of business, we are seeing much larger companies cut CapEx. You know, what is it that you are going to spend the 700 crores on?
So as I said, already we have reduced in the current year. We expect to reduce it further in the coming year also, okay? So as we said, we guided to a number of little excess of 700 crores. So of which about 200 would be for in-licensing, whatever we do, as everybody does that also. So the balance would be towards, you know, your routine capex, any growth capex that you would need. But the endeavor would always be to reduce it further as well.
So the 500 crores that you'll do on tangible assets does not have any large ticket item. It's just basically run-of-the-mill kind of cash.
Most of them, yeah. Continuous, as we progress further on Monroe, we require a few additions here and there. Those also would come in, yeah.
So how are we thinking about cap, you know, encashing on or getting the return of the Monroe site, Glenn? There's a large capital expenditure.
So I think, Chirag, this year we've got Fulvestrant, which is commercialized. We've got Chlorzoxazone commercialized, right? Two products, one oral solid, one injectable. We anticipate a few more injectable approvals this year. We have a couple of good nebulizer launches coming up early next year, right? So I think, you know, overall, the viability of the site and the quality of the launches which will come out of Monroe will continue to stay pretty exciting.
Understood. And the last question, if I can, on working capital, what are your thoughts? We've seen some shrinkage. Is it sustainable? Can we improve?
We'll keep it tight, yeah, Chirag, too. I mean, number of days would be as much as it is. So with growth in business, obviously, there could be some little growth, but broadly, we'll try and keep it very tight.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Next question is from the line of Alankar Karude from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Glenn, when you say statistically significant improvement from the baseline for ISB 830, what was the ESI score achieved at week 16? Was it, say, more than 50 or less than 50? Any color on that?
So, Alankar, we can't give any more data. This is only part of the, you know, we will put the full data out once we get the part two, right, for both part one and part two.
Okay, so that will be in first half of CY21 then?
Correct.
Okay, so on that, Glenn, is it now safer to assume that we'll look to do any out-licensing deal for ISB 830 only after the part 2 data comes out? Till then, basically, there's the focus would be just on the fundraise of Ichnos?
Not really. So partnerships is a big priority for Ichnos, okay, and in the current year, we will target to try and close at least one partnership deal in FY21.
Okay, and that could be 830 as well.
Not necessary, Alankar. We have multiple levers, right? I mean, we've publicly stated that on the pain side, we are looking at partnering our pain assets. So 17536 remains very exciting. Immunology is another area where we would do partnerships, and even oncology. There's a possibility that we may partner or co-commercialize, co-partnership with on some oncology assets. So there are multiple levers in Ichnos which we will use in FY21.
Understood. And my second question, Glenn, is if you could elaborate on the on-ground situation in the domestic business broadly, how has been the impact on prescriptions over the last 3 months, MR interactions, anything on that would be very helpful.
I mean, April and May were tough months, right, in the domestic market for obvious reasons, right? Sales reps not being able to call on doctors. I think most lockdowns in many places. So these were difficult months for the domestic market. I think June, we may see some recovery. But I think overall, you know, the quarter as a whole, Q1 will be a tough quarter for the domestic market.
Understood. Great. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you for taking my question. My first question is on the U.S. business. Glenn, you mentioned that you have a good number of launches coming up. Is it fair to assume that most of these good launches would be from Monroe, or basically the injectable launches that you indicated to the previous question?
I think the bulk of it will be from Monroe, but there will be some from India also.
And how many launches are you expecting based on, you know, your submissions to the FDA? How many should we expect this year?
Typically, we would expect maybe about 10 odd launches this year.
Understood. And my second question is on the cost. Now, on the manpower cost, when you say you should see a reduction, you know, is it as a percentage of sales the number should decline, or that number also should see an absolute reduction?
No, you will see it as a decline in the percentage of sales.
Okay, fair enough. And do we want to quantify that number?
No, I wouldn't. As you can see, even in other expenses, we've done some decent work. We brought it down by a percentage or two. So similarly, we'll try our best to bring it down, but we don't like to state a number.
Understood. And my third question is on the net debt. You know, now that we'll have, you know, proceeds coming in from the Poland divestment and also the consumer business, is it fair to assume that some net debt reduction would be seen in the first half itself?
Yes, Neha, you will see some reduction in the net debt in the first half. So basically, one is obviously some of these non-core asset divestments, plus, as we already stated, our R&D will prune down, our expenses will keep under control. We'll also take care of our capex as well. So all this should contribute to some reduction in the net debt on constant currency.
And besides Equinox, you know, stake sales or fundraising, whenever that is supposed to happen, is there any other non-core assets that we have in our portfolio for divestment, or a large part of it is done with the three or four deals that we have announced?
So there is one more asset which we may do during the course of this year. I can't talk about it, there is one more which is possible.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much, Glenn.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
So just from the API business side, if you could just highlight US, Europe forming what percent of the API sales?
I would say it's almost 70-80% of the total sales. US, when I say US, I include, of course, generic players based in India who are shipping product to the US. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I
got it. US bound sales.
And in terms of number of products, or let's say top 10 or top 5 products contributing to your API?
It's very diversified. The whole portfolio is very diversified.
So even applipatent would not be more than 5-6% of the sales?
No.
All right. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Vikas Sharath from NT Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Mani. Just to follow up on the previous question. So your guidance of CapEx, which includes in-licensing, is for this year to be of 700 crore to 800 crore. What would be the comparable number for FY20?
FY20 was about 900, right? That's what we have shown.
So that is for tangible assets or including intangibles?
Both, all put together.
All right. Perfect. And on the cost side, to clarify your guidance, so R&D will be lower in absolute number and staff should be lower as a percentage of sales, right?
That's right.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the US business. So in your opening comment, you mentioned the operating environment remains challenging there. So can you please elaborate what will be key factor which should help you in going from current level? And if you can talk a bit about your non-oral solid initiative, say injectables or nebulizers for the US market. How do you see pickup there, and how many products for such opportunities have been filed so far? So something on that front.
I think the key driver for the U.S. will be the new product approvals, right, going forward. The pricing environment seems to be stabilizing, but the new product approvals are going to be the key driver. And for Glenmark, you know, I think injectables, nebulizers, some of the other dosage forms should start contributing in the current year, which will help the business.
Okay, and on the derma portfolio, are we still seeing price pressure or is stabilizing there also?
On the derm side, as you know, Mupirocin, we have one more competitor, so there is some pricing pressure which is still there. For the most of the portfolio, we've already gone through all our price erosions last year, the bulk of it.
Okay, and for this year, you're hoping for 10 new launches for the U.S. market, right?
Approximately, yeah.
Okay, and on the European side, if you can talk about some progress on the inhalers portfolio, like the products which we have launched in the market so far, how these products are scaling up there?
So our European respiratory portfolio continues to do exceedingly well, right? So we have beclomethasone, Salmex now, we've settled the litigation with GSK. We have a couple of other products which are in the works. So I think it's a nice franchise in terms of European respiratory.
Any guidelines you would like to provide? Like how do you want to scale up that business from current level, say 2 years from now?
Well, we can't give any visibility beyond this.
Okay. And my last question on the supply side, I think... you mentioned like we have seen now things normalizing on all geographies. So if you can talk more about supplies from API perspective, I understand most of the players have spoken about China supplies being now normal. So how do you see that front and any perspective for bringing in more in-house capability to rely, to reduce dependence on the Chinese supplies?
I think we've already done that over the last 1 year, where a lot of some of the intermediates and some of the manufacturing we've already bought back to India, and we continue to do that, right?
Okay, so that's broadly from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from GSC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Glenn, on the US business, what part of your current revenue comes from Bama Popular?
Aditya, now as a on the revenue side, it has come down substantially, right? It's probably about, I don't know, 25-30%, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the comparable number at the beginning of last year?
About 40-45%.
Okay, understood. And if you could speak about the price erosion on your oral portfolio, I know it's better, I mean, it's lesser than the derma portfolio, but how much lesser? Is it -2%, -5%? Is it flat? How is the oral solid price erosion?
Now it's pretty much stabilized at about 5-6%, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Got you. And, sorry.
No, okay. Continue.
Okay. And on Munro facility, Glenn, so, you know, the general notion is that the cost of manufacturing in US is, you know, definitely higher than what we do in India. So you spoke about injectables being launched from both locations, India and U.S., the Munro and the plant. Yeah.
No. Aditya, we don't have injectables in India. We only have in the U.S.
You only have it in the U.S. Okay. Got it. So let's say for the oral solid block in Munro and the oral solid blocks you have in India, what would be the difference profitability from the two plants and the asset turns between the two locations?
The cost would be a little higher, Aditya, in Monroe compared to India. But then, see, the broader opportunity lies in injectables and nebulizers as we go ahead, and we have some good approvals there. So as you would also know, strategically, it's a big advantage to have a plant in the U.S., considering whatever it is. So it's much helpful to have a plant there, and so we put one there. I mean, purely we are not put a OSD plant and looking at the profitability there. It's also there along with that. There's a line for that. We can use and make whatever we want.
No, right, Manny. What I was trying to understand is in India, generally, you know, the gross asset turn for a plant with oral solids this way is 2x, right? So if it's a 100 crore worth plant, you can expect 200 crores of revenue. If I were to look at a similar network for a plant in US, if the plant costs, you know, $100 million, what would be the asset turn on the plant?
Yeah, in India also it will take you 2-3 years before, 3 years or 4 years before you reach the, twice that turnover. So I believe that in the long run, we should be somewhere there, yeah. Leaving the cost aside, in terms of turnover, you should be much better off as you go along. Can't put a number to that, but definitely it will be much, much higher, yeah.
Understood, Mani. Thanks. That's it for me.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. We take the next question from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. You, in your opening remarks, you mentioned dermatology pricing at about 20% year-on-year. Is this for your portfolio or for the market?
This is for the market.
Okay, this is for the market. Okay. And has the ranitidine sort of completely come in the base for Q1?
Yes, in Q4, it has come in the base.
Okay. So from here on, we should think about the business as growing on this base of 105 million?
So, Chirag, I think in theory, yes. Unfortunately, because of COVID, obviously, there could be some ups and downs in terms of the base also. But I think on a full year basis, this is the base.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning to all. I have the following three questions. One, what proportion of your R&D would be in employee costs?
So, employee costs would be around 20%. Employee costs also is part of the R&D. We'll try and get back to you, but it should be around 40 to 45%.
Yeah, it should be about 40 to 45% easily.
Got it. In case of Favi, is Glenmark manufacturing the entire value chain, that is intermediary, API, and the formulation?
Yes, we are.
And exactly how difficult is it to manufacture this molecule in terms of chemistry?
So it's an 8-step process. I don't know all the details, but we have all the capabilities in-house.
Okay. And the last question, what is your blended cost of debt, including currency exposure?
So roughly you can say it will be about 5 to 6%, depending on how the currency moves. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to take it over a 2-3 year period. You can't take it like one-off like current year. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital, please.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to understand for Ichnos, what is the total balance sheet size in terms of investment done so far, and what is the kind of fundraise we are planning for the year?
So over the years, we've been investing, as you can see, like current year also at 100 million. So last 2-3 years, we have invested some decent amount of money there. So that's
the capital raise, Prakash, we can't give any visibility at this point, the amount, the quantum.
Yeah, but any color on balance sheet size, please?
Yeah, broadly around last 1-2 years, whatever are the numbers, so those would broadly be figuring out in.
So, VWash is something which we will, book in Q1, since HUL put a press release.
And sure. Iconos is the second one. What are the other levers in terms of debt deduction going forward?
I told you there are three more. One is reduction in CapEx, pruning down R&D spends, reduction in MPC cost as a percentage to turnover. So, plus also the divestment of non-core. So, all this should go to reduce
my debt. Yeah, I mean, my question more from the non-core side. I mean, are we seeing more such assets
There is one more which we can't, we are not saying right now, but it should happen sometime during this year.
But it's not API that we had planned earlier.
No. That's off.
That's off the hook, yeah?
Yeah, that's off.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Neha Manturia from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. On the gross margins, obviously, you know, the derma pricing pressures reflected in the gross margin erosion that we've seen year on year. But if I were to look at the fourth quarter level of, let's say, 64.5%, 65%, should we be able to maintain this level of gross margin next year, particularly since, you know, we have good launches coming through from Monroe? How should we look at the gross margin?
We should see it very close to what it is, and I mean, fourth quarter may not be the most ideal one. The year is a better indicator always. So, if you look at our overall, it will be around 64 and a half, 65, somewhere close to that. Yeah.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, moderator. Before we close the call, just like to read the disclaimer. The information statement and analysis made during this call describing company's objectives, projections and estimates are forward-looking statements and progressive within the meaning of applicable security laws and regulations. The analysis contained herein is based on numerous assumptions. Actual results may vary from those expressed or implied depending upon economic conditions, government policies and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. With this, we end Glenmark's Q4 earnings call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, this concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.